Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll get there in just a couple minutes, but over the past 3 weeks, we've used Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5 as our key scripture in our series here that I'm finishing up today, but be thankful for. And Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, it said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations." The last 3 weeks, we've looked at things listed here that we are to be thankful for. The first was the goodness of God. Everyone can give thanks because God is the source of all good. He's the great giver, and we were created as receivers. Then we looked at the fact that his mercy is everlasting. God's mercy means that we're not treated as our sins deserve. God's mercy means that we can be forgiven. In his infinite mercy, he never gives up on us. Even though we may have given up on ourselves, God never gives up on us. Amen. No one is past the reach of God. Last week we looked at being thankful for the faithfulness of God. That God can be trusted. Even when no one else around us can be trusted, he can be. He never changes. He's the rock. He's stable. He's immovable. Those blessings are things we can give thanks for daily. And if, as we just celebrated Thanksgiving Day, hopefully we were reminded of all those things to even a greater degree in our lives. But this morning, as we look at Colossians chapter 1, I want to look at things in a little different light. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son," and verse 14, "in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." In this passage of Scripture, Paul stresses the need for thankfulness in our heart because God has opened the door for so many things for us as believers. See, anybody can be thankful that God is good. Everybody should be thankful that God is good, that God is merciful, and God is faithful. But this morning, I'm talking to believers. And maybe there's some watching or some that might listen to this that aren't believers yet. But these things here are things that God has made available to us. He's opened the door for us as believers. The other ones were aspects of God's character. But this morning, these scriptures, as we look at it, I want us to think about them, what they mean to us personally. Not for someone else. Not for them. Not for your neighbor or your spouse. I want you to think about what it means to you personally. As believers in Jesus Christ, these things apply and belong to you. And we can be thankful for it. He said, "Give thanks to the Father." Amen? The door was opened through the actions and the obedience of Jesus Christ in his sacrifice for us, to make these five things that we're going to look at this morning, he made available to us and has given to us. The first thing that we can give thanks to the Father for is he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Praise God. He qualified us. We didn't qualify ourselves. He did it. See, when people get into religion, people get into legalism, People get into that. It's all about them striving to make themselves qualified to get to heaven or qualified to receive something from God. But God, it says in the Word, is as He has qualified us already. He's the one who did it, and He did it through Jesus Christ. The word qualify in the Greek is the word hikananu. It means to make sufficient, to render fit, to equip one with adequate power to perform the duties of one. It's only used two places in the New Testament. Hold your place in Colossians and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. He's qualified us. You're qualified this morning. Everybody say, I'm qualified.
I'm qualified.
Hallelujah. You don't have to strive to get to a place where God accepts you. You don't have to strive to get to a place where you can have your prayers answered. No, the Word of God says you've been qualified to receive the inheritance. Amen? There's no stipulations in the will other than you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Amen? You accept what God did for you through Jesus, and you're qualified. Here in 2 Corinthians 3:6, I'm going to read the Amplified because it brings out more of the actual thought. It says, He has qualified us, making us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not of the letter of a written code, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills by revealing sin and demanding obedience, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. We're not under the law. We're not under a written code. Amen. We've been set free from that. God, through Jesus Christ, has said, here you go. Everything's laid out for you. Amen. It's like when your kids and your mom and dad are making Thanksgiving dinner and they lay it all out. And your aunts and uncles show up maybe, and your relatives show up. And if you're like our family the other day, we had an embarrassment of food. Right? Yeah, we had enough to feed 50 to 60 people. Easy. Amen? Ate leftovers for 3 days. I'm tired of leftovers. Praise the Lord. Praise God for leftovers, but you know what? After a while, it's like, I'm done. But God has made it. We're not trying to earn an inheritance. It's already ours. We don't have to to meet certain qualifications to share the good news. Have you ever felt inadequate? Have you ever felt, well, I'm not qualified to share the gospel. I don't have a degree. I've never been to Bible college. That's not an excuse. The Word of God says you've been qualified. You've been rendered sufficiently fit. You've been equipped with the sufficient power to be a minister of reconciliation, to be a minister of the new covenant. Amen? God says, and in the same way, He says, you've been rendered fit to receive everything that the inheritance has for you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Still hold your place there in Colossians because we're going back to it. But 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His great mercy. There's that thankfulness for mercy again. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. Got an inheritance that's never going away. Praise the Lord. Acts 20:32 says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Glory to God. You're qualified. Say, I'm qualified.
I'm qualified.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Before God sent Jesus, we would never have been able to qualify for the inheritance that we can now claim as ours, as the part of the family of God. Praise the Lord. Before salvation, we were dominated by the evil of this world and the wicked ruler of this world. We were fallen, sinful, and hopeless. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We were never going to be qualified on our own. We were never going to get good enough. You ever tried to do that? You ever tried to clean your act up before you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Didn't work out very well, did it? Couldn't do it. The only way you can do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verse 3 says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." The goodness of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Through Jesus Christ and the grace of God, we are now qualified to receive the blessing of His inheritance of eternal life and all the blessings that come with being part of the family of God. Before salvation, God was our judge only. We stand, or we would have stood condemned before Him. But when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, when you accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, and you believe that He died for you and shed His blood for you, and He was raised from the dead for you, God changed roles in your life. He went from judge to Father. Whew. Think about that. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is our advocate. We're going to be judged on the things that we did after we got saved. Not the fact of all the sins that were happening in our life. That stuff's all under the blood. It's all forgiven. Amen. But even if it was, just think about that you walk into a courtroom and the accuser's over here, but your lawyer is your brother and the judge is your dad. You're going to walk out of there, right? Amen. He's not just the judge, He's your Father. And anything that you've ever done, Jesus, your brother, who's going into the courtroom with you, your advocate, has already paid the penalty for whatever you did. Case dismissed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been qualified. That's awesome. Amen. Charles Barclay, in his commentary, said this, talking about your heirs. You're a child of God. Amen. You've received an inheritance. You're not waiting for it till you get to heaven. You've got it right now, today, at 11:41 Eastern Standard Time. You've got it. It's yours. If you are a child of God, you've got the inheritance. You are an heir. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ because of what he did for you. Barclay said, when the adoption in Roman law, when the adoption was complete, it was complete indeed. The person who had been adopted had all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family and completely lost all rights in his old family. Glory to God. Amen. In the eyes of the law, he was a new person. So new was he that even all debts and obligations connected with his previous family were abolished as if they had never existed. Praise the Lord. The adopted son became an heir to his new father's estate, no matter how many other sons there were at the time or how many born after thereafter, he was co-heir with them. This was not subject to change. It doesn't matter how many joint heirs and co-heirs there are in the family of God. God has more than enough for all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second thing that we can be thankful for that we find in this scripture here in Colossians, if you hopefully you're still holding your place there, we've been qualified to share the inheritance of the saints in light. The second thing there in verse 13, he delivered us from the domain of darkness, or he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Hallelujah. God the Father got involved with each and every one of us. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, out of the authority of darkness into the authority of the kingdom of his dear Son, into that inheritance of eternal light. Acts chapter 26. Still hold your place there in Colossians because we're coming back. Acts 26:16-18, the King James Version said, "But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power or the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Glory to God. You've been delivered, been rescued from the domain, from the authority of the darkness. The kingdom of darkness has no power over you anymore. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. We've been liberated from the authority of darkness and from bondage. In his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ shattered the power and the authority of Satan. And when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it's shattered in your life. All those chains, all those things that have been holding you back, they're gone. Colossians 2:13 says, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away." This is a New Living Translation, by the way. "Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Hallelujah. I think the King James Version says he took the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us and nailed them to the cross. Praise God. Anything the enemy would try to keep you in bondage, try to keep you holding you back, try to tell you you're still under his authority, it's his power over your life has been broken once and for all. Hallelujah. We can be thankful for that. Amen. We're freed completely and totally. Which gets us into the third thing here. Verse 13 in Colossians 1. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're transferred into a completely different realm. We're transferred from a place of misery and defeat and bondage into a place of freedom and victory and peace and joy. Amen? And love and security. Hallelujah. We've been transferred. The kingdom of God isn't some mystical place that we go to when we pass from this life to the next. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Hallelujah. It's here. Jesus came and he brought the kingdom of God with him to the earth. And he established that kingdom. And that kingdom will just keep growing and growing. It's the kingdom that does not have an end, as it says in the book of Daniel, as it prophesies about it. His kingdom will not end. He started it, and it will not end. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural principle that should impact our lives, should influence our behavior, and it should stir up the passion on the inside of us when we share the good news of the gospel with people, because we've been qualified to do so. We've been forgiven. We've been made the righteousness of God. We've come into a covenant relationship with Almighty God. We've been entrusted with the privilege of sharing the good news of the gospel with other people. We've been equipped and anointed by the Holy Spirit to minister to them. Those are all supernatural things, and they're all part of the kingdom of God. Don't let the enemy ever discount what being part of the kingdom of God means to you. It should be a reality in your life. It became a reality in your life when you accepted Jesus. Amen? If you go back, some of you have heard me preach about this, talking about the kingdom of God. Everything that Jesus did, that you read in the Gospels, everything that he did illustrated the kingdom of God to the disciples and to us. He showed what it was like through his teaching. He proclaimed the kingdom of God had arrived through his preaching. And he demonstrated that the kingdom of God was here through the things that he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you read in the book of Acts, the early church, the first century church, did the same thing. The same thing that we are to be doing today. We can be thankful. Amen. That we've been qualified. Amen. We've been rescued. Praise the Lord. And we've been transferred. Amen. Some of us needed a transfer bad when we got transferred. Amen. Praise God. The fourth thing. Verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption. The word redemption is the word apolytrosis. The Strong's, or the act of ransom in full. Thayer's Theological Dictionary defines it as to redeem one by paying the price, a release effected by payment of a ransom, deliverance, liberation procured by payment of a ransom. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed. Means to be loosened, what is bound, to let people go free. Those who are not redeemed are powerless to liberate themselves. Amen? You can't get free from things. Totally free. Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have redemption that's given to us. We've been redeemed. It seems meant simply to buy back or buy out of. Praise the Lord. We were in a bad shape. We were bound. We were lost. And Jesus came and set us free and set us on the right path. Amen. Praise the Lord. We couldn't buy our way out. You know, we were like somebody in a supermax prison where there's layer upon layer of fence and barbed wire and tinsel wire and whatever else, Brother Clint, that they have down there. You might get through the first fence, but it's going to be tough to get through second and the third. And some of us, we had 100 fences in front of us. And we were never going to get out of that bondage. Amen. We were in captivity. Our sin had put us in a place we didn't want to be. We were in prison. And Jesus came. And He just, whoosh, made a pathway right out for us. Doesn't matter how many layers of fence, how in prison we were. Jesus made a way for us to get out. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9, 14 and 15 says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that led to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Praise the Lord. He set us free. Some of us are very aware of the captivity our sin had placed us in. There were addictions that we couldn't escape. Sinful habits we had learned and we used as a coping mechanism to get through life. See it every day in people. Some people are captive, needing other people's approval. You know, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't have to please other people. There's only one person you got to please, and that's your Heavenly Father. And He thinks you're the cat's meow, the apple of your eye, His eye. Amen? He thinks you're awesome. He thought you were so special, He sent His Son to die for you, to redeem you. Amen? We just didn't need some behavior improvement, or pick up some new habits, or establish some new routines. We didn't need to have some self-love and some positive reinforcement. We needed to be redeemed. Amen? Total redemption is what we needed. We needed someone to come and buy us out of the predicament that we had placed ourselves in. And we found ourselves in. And Jesus did that. We can be thankful for that. And finally, number 5. Here, back in Colossians chapter 1. The forgiveness of sins. It literally means to send away or put apart. Leaving behind. Release from an obligation. You know, whenever a wrong of any kind occurs, there's always a debt that has to be paid. We have to forgive people if we are to walk in the fullness of life. Amen? There's three things, three steps that our Heavenly Father modeled to us when He chose to forgive us. Number one, there was a wrong that had occurred. We'd sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's an obligation for repayment. And then finally, when God's forgiveness, the God type of forgiveness, He chooses to release us from that obligation and to cover the loss Himself. It's the same way when we have to forgive other people. We're releasing them from any obligation to us. Forgiveness is more about you in our context than it is about them. Because if you let that unforgiveness and that bitterness set down in you, it said in the Word of God, it says it'll spring up. Amen? We've got to forgive people. May not be easy. Well, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But your Heavenly Father does. Take it to Him and forgive them in His presence. Amen? And He'll help you through it. Not saying it's going to be easy. Some people have been wronged terribly, have been hurt terribly. Awful things done to them. But you got to get to a point where you choose, you know what? It's holding me back. It's keeping me in prison. I can't move past that. Every time I start to move forward, that thing crops up and it stops me and I can't go any further. But Jesus came to get rid of that. Because He did what He did, you can do what you need to do. Amen? Just trust Him. Trust Him. True forgiveness always comes at a cost to the one forgiving. You're to forgive the debt means you're absorbing that debt that the other person created. But God showed us how we can get past that. Amen? Choosing to forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't mean that God simply shrugged it off and said, don't worry about it. No big deal. No, the debt that each and every one of us owe God because of the sin that's in our life, Jesus willingly absorbed that when He took it to the cross, as we read about, and it was nailed to the cross. Amen? Just think about all the sins that you've ever committed. Don't think about them. But just visualize everything that you ever did wrong and everything you're ever going to do wrong is placed on some parchment. Some of us need a real long piece, you know. Some of us might get by with a twin sheet size. Some of us need a California king size, right? Nailing it to the cross, and then Jesus' blood that He shed covers it. He's laying there, and everything that you've ever done, the blood of Jesus just covers it and obscures it. That's the visualization you need to have of your redemption and of the forgiveness that God, praise God, thank God. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus shed His blood. Wiest, in his studies of the New Testament, wrote this. One is reminded of the one goat who was offered as a sin offering on the Day of Atonement, and of the other goat upon which was placed the sins of the people. Remember, the priest used to lay his hands upon the head of the goat and basically, supposedly, symbolically transfer all the sins of the nation of Israel were placed upon that goat. And that latter goat typified the aspect of redemption in which the sins of the human race were put away, because that goat was let go in the wilderness, never to be seen again. Hallelujah. Never to be charged against the individual again. That's what happened. That's in a way, that's what happened to you. All your sins were placed upon that scapegoat of Jesus, and he took it, never to be seen again. We can be thankful for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, we've been qualified to share in the inheritance. We've been rescued from the domain of darkness. We've been transferred to the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been redeemed, and we've been forgiven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll close with this. One more. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We can be thankful for all of those things. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Going to win. Going to win. Amen. Say, I'm a winner. I'm qualified. Amen. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I've been rescued. I've been transferred. And I'm going to win. I am a winner. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that we are victorious each and every time, Father, through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for these things that we looked at and we've spoken on today. Father, we thank you that we are qualified. Father, that we've been rescued and transferred and redeemed and forgiven. Lord, we're just so thankful for all these things. And we know it's only because of Jesus. And we thank you for that. Praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.